to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it is good to be back in Ambridge. As most of you know, I was away with Kim. We got away for our first vacation in 2 years. And many of you prayed for us while we were gone, and we were thankful for your prayers. The Lord met us with the rest and refreshment that we needed. And we also got to meet our first grandchild, Charlotte. If you haven't seen a picture, stop Kim after church. She'll show you a gazillion of them. It was a real blessing to be there just 2 weeks after her birth. Now, just before our vacation, we got to catch up with old friends, Stephen and Tricia Tye. Many of you know them. They came and sat on our porch and just said, "Fill us in. How did you get here in all of this?" And as we described our past year, moving back to Ambridge, renovating our home, they asked us a very pointed question. They said, "Have the two of you been practicing Sabbath? Because it doesn't look like it." And we realized that most every Sabbath, our Sabbath we take on Friday, most every Friday we really didn't rest because we allowed the workers and the projects and the painting and the things to do to invade our Sabbath rest. So we hadn't been doing that. And Stephen challenged us to remember that we, as God's people, were intended to work from our rest. We rest first, and then we work. We don't do what the world does, which is you work until you're tired, and then you rest from your work. For God's people, we work out of our place of Sabbath rest. It's no coincidence that the Sabbath, therefore, is the first day of the week. And then our work is to follow out of that Sabbath. God designed and intends for his people to first Sabbath and then work out of that rest. And it was with those words ringing in our ears that we entered into our vacation, our extended Sabbath that we get each year. We sought Sabbath rest with the Lord so that we could enter this new year from a place of rest. We were reminded during our vacation that it was just 1 year ago this past week. So on July 14th, on Monday, that marked our last Sunday at our former church. And then we packed up our world, and then we moved back, and then we began to renovate the house. And we began our new adventure here. So our vacation this year, therefore, launches us into this new year with all of you. A year together with our family at Church of the Savior here in Ambridge. And our gospel reading from Luke offers a perfect teaching from Jesus as we begin this new year together. And as Marianne mentioned, and as you heard in that gospel reading, we read about anxiety, something that plagues us all. And it's now that I want to invite the kids to come forward. And I was hoping that Dana Priest would be here. Dana, you've got a job too. Come on up. So Dana is going to present the pictures for the adults. You guys can just sit down right here. Now, we read the story of Martha and Mary that talks about anxiety. There was another part of the Gospels where Jesus also talked about anxiety, and that's what we're going to read today with the kids. So make sure, Levi and Emery, could you move this way a little bit so I can hold it? I want you to be able to see the pictures. Wherever Jesus went, lots of people went too. They loved being near him. Old people,
young people, all kinds of people came to see Jesus. Sick people, well people, happy people, sad people, and worried people. Lots of them worrying about lots of things. What if we don't have enough food or clothes, or suppose we run out of money? What if there isn't enough? What if everything goes wrong? What then? When Jesus saw all of the people, especially those that were worrying, his heart was filled with love for them. They were like a little flock of sheep that did not have a shepherd to take care of them. So Jesus sat them down and he talked to them. "See those birds over there," Jesus said. "Everyone looked and little sparrows were pecking at seeds along the path. Where do they get their food? Perhaps they have pantries all stocked up. Maybe they go to the store and go shopping." Everyone laughed. "Who's ever seen a bird with a bag of groceries or pushing a shopping cart?" "No," Jesus said, "they don't need to worry about that because God knows what they need and he feeds them." "What about these wildflowers?" And he pointed out the flowers behind him. All around them, flowers were growing. Daisies, pure white lilies, lots of different flowers. "Where do they get their lovely clothes? Do they make them? Do they go to work every day so they can buy clothes? Do they, the flowers, have closets full of clothes?" Well, everyone laughed again. "Who's ever seen a flower putting on a shirt or shorts or a dress?" "No," Jesus said, "they don't need to worry about that because God clothes them in royal robes of splendor. Not even a king is that well dressed. Little flock, you are more important than the birds. You're more important than the flowers. The birds and the flowers don't sit and worry about things, and God doesn't want you, his children, to worry about things either. God loves to look after the birds and the flowers, and he loves to look after you too." And Jesus finished by saying, "Don't worry about those things, but seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you." And that's the end of our story time. So you can go back. As I said, that was one of the three places where Jesus mentions anxiety. Our gospel reading about Mary and Martha also addressed anxiety, but in that case, the anxiety was in the context of hospitality. The theme of hospitality is prominent in this historical narrative. This isn't a parable. This is a recording of what actually happened. And hospitality is very important in Middle Eastern culture, but it was especially important in first century Jewish culture. When visitors came to one's house, you would welcome them, and then you would give them the finest food or the finest drink or the finest fruit, whatever you had. I experienced this kind of hospitality in a backwoods village in Honduras. I was with a friend taking a walk, and we didn't realize it, but we walked right into their village. It was huts in the trees, and when they welcomed us, they gave us coffee, and I first looked at my friend Mike, and I said, y'all might know Mike Miller. He was a Sam's missionary for many years. I looked at him, and he said, "It's okay to drink." Well, I tried to drink it, and this coffee had so much sugar in it, it was basically syrup. But that's how they wanted to honor us, to give us all of their sugar. So I choked it down. That kind of hospitality that is in play here. That's what Martha was focused on. Jesus, the famous rabbi and teacher that everyone was talking about throughout the region, had come into their village and he was going to Martha's home. And this was a big deal. It wasn't just any visitor, but Jesus and his followers. And as you can imagine, they didn't call Mary from the road. Barnabas with his phone saying, "Hey, yo, Mary, we're on our way. We'll be there at 5:10. So she was scrambling around, trying to go all out to lavish hospitality on them. The best of everything. She wasn't prepared. She was trying to welcome them as she would have been taught. But in the story, what's Jesus doing? He's teaching. That's right. He didn't walk in looking for a snack or looking to catch up. He entered the home, and as everybody gathered, he began to teach. This wasn't a social visit. Jesus entered the home, and he's now teaching. In verse 39, if you're following along in your leaflet, verse 39 tells us where Martha's sister Mary is. She's sitting at his feet. She's not preparing anything. She's listening to Jesus. Now again, cultural context is important. In first century Jewish culture, in hospitality, the norm would have been for the guests to sit and for the hosts to be serving, especially the women. So Mary and Martha were the hosts, but Mary was sitting. She was not serving. Martha's distracted by many things, the scriptures tell us. In verse 40, Martha's so frustrated that she interrupts the teacher. "Hold on, Jesus. Can you tell Mary that she has to come to the kitchen and help me get the pita ready?" She interrupts Jesus. And look at verse 41. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha.'" I don't know about you, but when my mom said my name twice, I knew I was in trouble. Not so with Jesus, but he was getting her attention. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Jesus points out her anxiety about many things. And he says, there's only one thing that's necessary, and Mary's chosen it. Now, what is that one thing? Jesus' teaching. God, the living word, in their midst. Jesus tells Martha, don't be anxious. Don't be distracted. Choose to pay attention to the one thing that's necessary. I, the living word, am with you. Jesus wasn't declaring there that hospitality is no longer important, so don't welcome anybody. That's not Jesus' message. His point to Martha was for her to focus on the Lord and his kingdom. Gets back to what we read with the children. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you as well. Don't be anxious about the other things. Now, Jesus, as I said previously, he didn't mention anxiety often. He mentioned it here with Mary and Martha. He mentioned it two chapters later as he talked about the birds and the flowers. But just before the birds and the flowers, he mentioned anxiety one other time. Luke 12, verse 11, he was instructing the disciples, "You will be persecuted. You will be called before the authorities and the religious leaders. And when that happens," he says, "do not be anxious about what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you." Those are the only three times he mentions anxiety. So here Jesus says to Mary and Martha, one thing is necessary. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom. He says to Martha, don't worry about impressing others with your hospitality. Don't worry about getting everything perfect. Stop it. Pay attention to the one thing, God's word and God's kingdom. And we know that Jesus initiated the kingdom of God. He said it. The kingdom of God is at hand. So the kingdom of God is here. It's also in our midst. It didn't go anywhere. God's kingdom has different priorities from the world's priorities. To Martha, Jesus says, don't be anxious about what you're usually anxious about. Martha, relax. Just welcome us in. If she had said, Jesus, what is it that you require? He would have said, Martha, sit down. She was trying to be all that, to put it all together so she'd look good and not look bad. Jesus didn't need food. He wanted to teach her. He invites you likewise into his presence. What I hear in Jesus' words to Martha is, let go of trying to please others. Let go of trying to be perfect. Let go of trying to get everything right and worrying when you might have gotten something wrong. Listen for his voice. The one thing I hear is God's voice. What's he speaking to me as I ask him, Lord, what's the one thing? And then, Lord, give me confidence to follow. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is good news to all who are burdened and heavy laden. To all who are burdened with anxiety. How often do we hear people, it's not just, I'm anxious, but I have anxiety. It's become a thing that we have. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do not worry about all of these things, but stay focused on me. Doesn't mean life will be easy, but it means that's the one thing, and he will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will give you what you need. As I come out of my vacation Sabbath, my intention is to consider this one thing throughout my day. That's what I heard the Lord asking of me. As I go through the day, I plan to return to that question. Okay, Lord, now, what's the one thing? As I begin the day, as I read scripture, Lord, what's the one thing? As I'm driving to a meeting, what's the one thing that I can either be praying for or preparing for with whomever it is I'm meeting with? As I return home, as I have projects, the one thing might be stop procrastinating and get to work. But the one thing also might be don't be so busy. Pay attention. Ask this person how they're doing. Ask if you can pray for them. Stop in your anxiety and your distractedness. I want you to pay attention to this sheep of mine or this one that's not my sheep yet. I invite you to join me in that. Perhaps this fall, perhaps just this week. Lord, what's the one thing right now? Because I can't do everything. God's kingdom is not up to you, folks. It's not up to me. It's his kingdom, and he invites us to trust him. He invites us to reflect him as we live differently. I invite you to, as you go through your day today, as you go through this week, if you're a child, you can do that too. What's the one thing now? It might be helping your mom or your dad in the kitchen. If you're single, it might be reaching out to someone by phone, asking them how they're doing. I hope you'll join me in this. And I invite you to pray with me as we close. Lord God, help us not to be distracted by the world's priorities. Help us not to be distracted by the news, by social media, or whatever. Help us to know the one thing at each moment that you're calling us to. Help us to pay attention and walk in obedience. Lord, help us to walk with Jesus, to love you, to love our neighbor, and to proclaim the good news to anyone who's outside the kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.